Morning. Today's Daf and Shabbos, Daf Lam Zayin. We started yesterday the third Perek of Shabbos, and this is Perek Kira. Perek Kira is traditionally one of the most often learned Perekim in Shabbos because it deals with preparing food for Shabbos and leaving food on the fire going into Shabbos. Obviously, it has the most amount of practical halacha, as this occurs every single Shabbos, where we prepared food for Shabbos, and we'd like to leave it on the fire going into Shabbos. Nowadays, of course, we have modern conventions of our society in terms of how we prepare the food. We have ovens, we have stoves without fire, stoves running electricity. So a lot of the struggles is trying to convert all that we're learning here in this perek to modern technology. But I'm going to focus much more on the Gemara and on the understanding of the Gemara in terms of halacha masa, so you have your local Orthodox rabbis, they can help you out. But I'm much more interested in the understanding of the Gemara. What's going to be extraordinarily helpful in terms of facilitating our understanding is just going to get the facts down. Meaning what I'll do first is I'll just present a good amount of information, and then we'll go through the Mishnah and the Gemara inside. It's much easier that way to know something before you learn. So let's just get the facts on the ground. There are two different stages of called food preparation or keeping food hot. There's what's called shehiyah and there's what's called chazara. Now the word shehiyah means to leave it on the fire, and this is talking about before Shabbos. Before Shabbos, I have the food cooked, and I'm going to leave it on the fire going into Shabbos. So this is an act of shehiyah. And whether or not this is permissible or not permissible, so let's start here. If the food's not cooked, so it's totally not permissible. Meaning, we are talking about, and I understand we could be talking about a totally raw piece of food, kedera chaisa, which the Gemara spoke about earlier, but I'm going to keep everything simple right now. If the food's not cooked, so you can't do that. You can't keep it on the fire going into Shabbos. And the concern is very simple, because if I take an uncooked piece of food and leave it on the fire going into Shabbos, even though at this point in time, mid-daraisa, I didn't violate a malacha, and even as the food is cooking over Shabbos, I'm not violating a malacha, so I put everything into process before Shabbos, but still the concern is real, and the concern is self-evident. What I'm going to do is I'm going to try to manipulate the fire, manipulate the food, in order to get that food to cook. So having it not cooked before Shabbos is, according to everybody, going to be an issue. And you cannot do that. What is up for debate and discussion is, what if the food is partially cooked? Can I leave it on the fire if the food is partially cooked? So there are two opinions, which we get to experience again and again, both today and tomorrow's daf. One opinion is that of Hananya. I know it sounds like we should be calling him Rabbi Hananya, but the Gemara always just simply refers to him as Hananya. Tanaim and Amaraim, who don't have a Rebbe title in front of their name. So it's Shmuel, right? They're meant Rava, okay? There's many of them. So, but Hananya is of the opinion that as long as the food is partially cooked, so then you can leave it on the fire going into Shabbos. Okay, this is the opinion of Hananya. What does partially cooked mean? So you'll see the terminology used in the Gemara again and again. It means Maichel ben Drusai. What does Maichel ben Drusai mean? So we've already seen this earlier in the Gemara. The Gemara expressed this back on Daf Yates, that he's a bandit, he's on the run, it's a job hazard. So he's got to eat his food, not when it's fully cooked, when it's partially cooked. The Gemara does not actually define what does that mean, partially cooked. It just simply means enough so that's edible. Rashi and the Rambam disagree in terms of what exactly the definition of partially cooked is, either a half or a third of it cooked. So in other words, if the recipe calls for the chicken to be cooked for an hour, so it's either we're talking 30 or 20 minutes in terms of what the definition of partially cooked is. Okay, so without getting too bogged down in the details, but the basic idea is that once it's partially cooked, so Hananya would say, fine, leave it on the fire, that's fine, it's not a problem. Because once it's partially cooked, so therefore, it's enough so that I won't tamper with the fire or with the food. That's the opinion of Hananya. And then the Chachamim disagree with Hananya. They say no. They say that the food has to be fully cooked. It has to be mevushal katsarcha, fully cooked in order for me to be able to leave it on the fire going into Shabbos. If it's not fully cooked, so I can't leave it on the fire going into Shabbos. Good. So now, that is the issue of shehiyah. So how do you resolve the issue of shehiyah? Meaning, what can I do to leave the food on the fire? So according to Hananya, the resolution is very simple. Get the food cooked to at least Maichel ben Drusai. Once you do that, you'll be fine. Then you'll be allowed to leave it on the fire. That's if you're Hananya. What if you're the Chachamim? So what do you do now? I'd like to leave food on the fire. So either, one, fully cook the food, if I fully cook the food, so then I can leave it on the fire. Or, according to the Chachamim, I could do one of two things to the actual fire itself. Now, we talk about the fire. Please understand that back then, fire meant coals. Meaning that's how they cooked their food. They cooked their food on a bed of coals. Directly on the coals, over the coals. We'll talk more about that over the course of today. So according to the Chachamim, what can I do? So there are two things that you could do. It's one's called grufa and the other one's called ketuma. Ketima. Grufa means to sweep the coals to the side. Now, it's not 100% clear from the Mishnah what exactly means sweeping the coals to the side. It can mean one of two things. The Rishonim discuss this at length. It could either mean that sweeping the coals to the side, meaning sweep the coals totally out of the oven, so all you have is just the residual heat in the oven, but you don't have coals at all. That's one possibility. Or another possibility is just simply sweeping the coals to the side of the oven, but not taking it totally out of the oven. That's grufa. Okay. The other thing that you could do in order to allow shehia is ketima, ketuma. Ketuma means to take a layer of ashes and to put the ashes on the top of the coals. And once I do that, so then I'd be allowed to go ahead and to put the food over the fire, even if the food is not fully cooked. Okay?
Huh? Like a blech.
Yeah, kind of like what we use nowadays, a blech, although here in our modern inventions, I find that the blech is becoming less and less used. We have hot plates now. Okay, but again, that's I'm right now, for today, I'm much more interested in the Gemara, in the Mishnah and the Gemara. Okay, that is all shehia. Now, why did the rabbis prohibit shehia? Meaning, if according to Hananya, if the food is not Michael ben Drusai, and according to the Chachamim, if the food is not fully cooked, why did the Chachamim prohibit shehia? So I basically explain, because we're afraid of tampering. If you want to be more detail-oriented, it seems to be a machlokes between Rashi and Tosfos, right here on this daf. We're on Lamed Vav, I'm in Beis right now. Right here on this daf, in terms of what exactly is the nature of the gzera of shehia. So from Rashi, although you don't really see it so clearly in Rashi, but from Rashi, and certainly this is the way Tosfos understands Rashi, it seems to be that this is part of the gzera of Hatmana. Right, you remember back in the Gemara a couple days ago, we talked about how Hatmana bedavar hamosif hevel, doing Hatmana with something that adds heat, is prohibited, obviously on Shabbos, that's obvious, but even before Shabbos, you're not allowed to do that as well. And so from Rashi's standpoint, this seems to be like a subcategory of the gzera of Hatmana bedavar hamosif hevel. Tosfos right over here, you can see Tosfos inside, Lo Yiten Achi Igrof. So Tosfos over here writes, that's not what it's about. This has nothing to do with Hatmana, but rather says Tosfos, because, argues Tosfos, Hatmana is when you totally envelop the food in a heat source. That's not what's going on over here. Over here, I'm just simply putting it on the fire. I'm not putting it in the fire. So this has nothing to do with Hatmana, but says Tosfos very simply. You can see the last lines of that second Tosfos. The issue is, says Tosfos very simply, I'm going to play with the fire. And if the food is not fully cooked according to the Chachamim, or if it's not partially cooked according to Hananya, I'm going to play with the fire. I'm going to tamper with the fire. Shema yichate begachalim. And obviously, if I tamper with the fire on Shabbos, that would be a malacha of Havara. Okay? And obviously, if the food is over the top, that would also be a malacha of Bishal as well. Good. So that is all about Shehiyah. So the terms that you got to remember as we go through this parak is Shehiyah, Grufa, Ketuma, Michael ben Drusai. Those are your ABCs of Perikira. Then we move on to another issue, which is the issue of Chazara. Chazara is the following. We're talking now on Shabbos itself. On Shabbos itself, the food is on the fire. And I'd like to now take the food off the fire, scoop a little bit of food out of the pot, and put the food back on the fire. Under certain circumstances, it's okay. This is what's called Chazara. Now, Chazara is, as we're going to learn over the course of the Gemara and mention it right now, Chazara is definitely more chamor than Shehiya. Definitely more. Which makes really a lot of sense, first of all, because a Shehiya we're talking about before Shabbos. Chazara we're talking about on Shabbos itself. So already now you can imagine that the rules of Chazara are going to be ratcheted up simply because now we're talking about on Shabbos itself as opposed to before Shabbos. What are the rules of Chazara? So first and foremost, everybody agrees that the food has to be fully cooked. Meaning you cannot do Chazara if the food is not fully cooked. According to Ma'achal ben Drusai, has nothing to do with Chazara. The food has to be fully cooked. That's number one. Number two, everybody agrees that the fire has to be covered, meaning that the treatment of Grufa or Ketuma, which we talked about before Shabbos, the Kira has to be Garufa Katum in order to allow and facilitate Chazara. Because if it's not Grufa or Ketuma, think about what you're doing now. You're basically taking a pot of food and you're putting it on a fire itself. So obviously that's going to be more of an issue. Now, what's the issue of Chazara? In other words, let's try to now pinpoint what exactly the problem is. The food is fully cooked, and okay, so let's say I do put it back on the fire itself. What's the issue? What's the problem of Chazara? Well, if the food is fully cooked, so then and I put it on the fire, what malacha did I violate? So if I'm touching the fire itself, so it could be that the problem is Shema, that I'm tampering now with the fire. Okay, but let's go one step further though. Let's say I don't touch the fire at all, meaning let's say I put a grill or a grate over the coals. So I'm not touching the fire at all. So what's the issue of Chazara? So I'll show you this inside. The Rishonim say this. The issue with Chazara may be a totally different issue. It may be an issue of, looks like you're cooking. Right. Because now somebody walks into your house and what do they watch? What do they see you do? Taking a pot of food and putting it on the fire on Shabbos. Now, granted, the food is fully cooked, and so, me'ikar din, you did nothing wrong, but it's mechze kemevashal. It looks like you're cooking, and so the problem of chazar is a problem more of appearance than it's a problem of what you may end up doing.
Is that chashad or maradayin?
Yeah, it's right. It falls under the category of maradayin. The Gemara doesn't actually say that, but yeah, it's somewhere in the ballpark of maradayin. It's mechze kemevashal, it looks like you're cooking. Okay? So these are your two big issues that we discussed over the course of the third parak. What I'd like to do again is I'd like to start by rereading the Mishnah. I read the Mishnah yesterday, went through the Mishnah yesterday. And the problem with the Mishnah, and we're going to be spending nearly the entire day, daf today discussing, is the Mishnah is not clear what it's discussing. Is it discussing Shehi or is it discussing Chazara? Okay? That's really it. Meaning if you want to know what today's daf is about, for the most part, it's about trying to understand Where's the Mishnah lying at? Shehir or Chazara? Now, just as a comment, not really made by the Gemara, but just looking at the Masechta in its totality, it seems like it's talking about Shehir. Meaning it may make much more sense that the Mishnah is talking about Shehir. Why? Because think about where we are on Shabbos. Meaning, we just finished the Perek of Bameh Madlikin, which talks about setting up the Neros. So presumably now this Perek of Kira is now talking about getting the food up before Shabbos. So in other words, just from the context of where we're discussing this, it sounds like Shehiya, but as you'll see, it's not clear from the Mishnah. Let's read the Mishnah inside. Top of Lamed Vav Amud Beis, the Mishnah. Kirshi, Sikub, Bekashav, Gvava. If I ignite the oven using Kashav, Gvava, as I explained yesterday, it's straw, it burns quickly, but it burns cleanly, and once it burns, that's it. There's no, you know, it doesn't retain any of the heat. So you could put food right on top of the kashin gvava, don't worry about it. Gefis of eitzim, but if I use gefis, it's eitzim gefis, as I explained yesterday, the residue of the olive press, that whatever's left of the olives, which makes excellent fuel, and not only does it make excellent fuel, but once I ignite it, it stays warm for a long time, and I could poke it around and play with it. Eitzim is wood. Wood is what makes charcoal. So lo yitain ad yigro fi yitain seifa. So here, in order to put the food on the fire, I must either do grufa or ketuma. And if I do not do grufa or ketuma, so then I cannot put it on the fire. Now Beit Shammai armim chamem avalo tafshil. Now Beit Shammai says that this is limited only to water, but not to food. Beit Shammai armim chamem vitafshil. Beit Shammai says no. Could be talking about water. Could be talking about food as well. Beit Shammai armim notlin avalo machzirin. Beit Shammai says you can take the food off, but you can't put it back on. Now that's clearly talking about chazara. Okay, that's clear. The Mishnah says the word chazara. No, l'navolo machzir. Beit Shammai amrim af machzir. And Beit Shammai says no, you can do chazara as well. Okay. So from the Mishnah, here's what I know for sure. That last line of the Mishnah is talking about chazara. It says so, and we know that's a machlokes between Beit Shammai and Beit Shammai. Beit Shammai says you can't do chazara at all. Okay? Again, we don't pass like Beit Shammai, so we already know where we're starting the discussion. Chazara is mutter. We'll talk about the parameters of how to do chazara, but chazara in of itself is mutter under certain circumstances. So we know the last part of the Mishnah is talking about chazara. Good. But what's the first part of the Mishnah talking about? Now, it's confusing because the Mishnah says, Nosnin aleha tafshil. Now, that could be one of two things. That could be talking about before Shabbos, and then Mishnah is talking about Shehiya, or it's talking about on Shabbos itself, and that part of the Mishnah could be talking about Chazara. Okay. Now, just one point, which the Gemara is going to make later on, but I'll make it right now, as we see the Mishnah inside. Well, if the first part of the Mishnah is talking about Chazara, so then what's the last part of the Mishnah telling us?
In terms of difficulties, Chazara and Shia. Shia takes place before Shabbat. So Chazara happens on Shabbat.
That's your basic difference.
Okay.
Now, if you want to,
there's no Shia during Shabbat.
Right. Correct. Now, if you do want a somewhat subtle and nuanced discussion, there is a discussion in the Rishonim already that maybe the time of Chazara actually begins just a little bit before Shabbos. But right now, I'd much rather keep everything nice and simple. So let's just say, like the way you said it, Shehiyah is before Shabbos, Chazara is on Shabbos itself. Okay. And if the last part of the Mishnah is talking about Chazara, which we know it is, so then what's the first part of the Mishnah doing? Meaning, it's telling us about Chazara, and then it's reviewing the issue of Chazara? Like, that doesn't make a lot of sense. It would make more sense if the first part of the Mishnah we're talking about Shehiyah, and the second part of the Mishnah we're talking about Chazara. That's the point the Gemara will make later on. But right now, let's start the Gemara inside. E baye luhu. Hai lo yitain lo yachzirhu. Now, when the Mishnah says lo yitain, right? That's the that's the first lines of the Mishnah. Kirishi sikur bekasha v'gvava nosin la tafsho begesiv v'eitzim lo yitain achiyigrov. Now, what does that mean, lo yitain? Placement. Does that mean placement lo yachzir? Does that mean on Shabbos? Now, if the requirement of Grufa Ketumah is on Shabbos itself, that means we're talking about Chazara. Which means that if we're talking about before Shabbos, which is a Shehiyah discussion, that would mean that you could do it. Even if the fire has not been adjusted, neither Grufa nor Ketumah was done. Umani Chananya, and that would mean that our Mishnah is going like Chananya. Our Mishnah is an anonymous Mishnah. It could very well be that our Mishnah is going like Chananya. If our Mishnah is only talking about Chazara, and the requirement of our Mishnah is only talking about Grufa Ketumah on Shabbos itself. Now, by the way,
how could you do that?
Yeah, by the way, thank you. By the way, obviously the Grufa and Ketumah cannot be done on Shabbos. Obviously it means that the fire was treated before Shabbos so that I can do Chazara on Shabbos. Right? Excellent correction, and you're 100% correct. So umani chananya hi detanya chananya omer kolshu kemaychal ben drusai mutar lishoso agabe kira afa pishena garvena katum, and that would mean that our mishnah is found like chananya, which would then mean that our anonymous mishnah is following in the path of chananya, which means that I could put food on the fire even if the fire is eno garve eno katum, even if the fire is not treated at all. O Dilma Lishos Tanan, or perhaps our Mishnah is talking about Shehiyah, meaning that when the Mishnah says Lo Yitin, don't place, it means don't place it on Friday, going into Shabbos. Vigar Fikatamini Lo Lo. And if the fire is prepared, that would be fine, but otherwise you cannot do it. Vikol Shekein Lahachzir, and if you need to do Grufa Ketumah before Shabbos, you certainly need to do Grufa Ketumah in order to allow Chazar to be done on Shabbos itself. Okay. So now this is the question, and this is really our question for the rest of today's daf. Our Mishnah, is it talking about placement before Shabbos? And the requirement of Grufa Ketumah needs to be done in order to facilitate Shehiyah? Or is our Mishnah talking about on Shabbos itself, meaning Chazara, but in order to do Shehiyah, the fire doesn't need to be Grufa Ketumah? Okay, and essentially, if you're not fully confused yet, which I hope you're not, but if you're not fully confused yet, it really comes down to a most basic question. I want to leave food on the fire going into Shabbos. Can I leave it directly on the fire going into Shabbos, or can I not? That's essentially the question that we're asking right now. According to Chananya, you can, with only one provision, that the food be partially cooked, to the point of Maichel ben Drusai, and according to the Chachamim, you cannot. You cannot leave food on the fire going into Shabbos unless the fire is Grufa Ketumah. Coals are swept to the side or a layer of ashes placed over the top. That's essentially the question.
No matter how much it's cooked.
Right. And right, there may be an option, according to the Chachamim, where you can do it, where you can leave it on the food if it's fully cooked. But even then, as we're going to learn later on, Even then, that may need further qualification.
So in modern terms, Hanani would say you don't need the black. Just stick it on a fire.
That's it. That's it. That's really, in other words, if I could reduce the whole question of the Gemara over here, I know it's challenging because essentially the question is within two positions of the Gemara, Chananya and the Chachamim. It's a question of how to properly learn the Mishnah. But really, when it all comes down to the question of, can I leave food on a fire, on an open fire going into Shabbos? That's really what it comes down to. Chananya would say yes, the Chachamim would simply say no. And then, how is our Mishnah to be learnt? Tashma. So the Gemara starts off the discussion. Midik Tani Shrei Bavi. So now the Gemara is going to make the point, which I made already back in the Mishnah. I only made it because I knew the Gemara is going to make this point. Look, Midik Tani Shrei Bavi, when you learn our Mishnah really comes in two segments. There are two parts to the Mishnah. Now there are two segments to the Mishnah. Now, if the first part of the Mishnah was all about Shehiyah, so then the Mishnah works beautifully and simply. The Mishnah starts off by having a discussion of Shehiyah, meaning placing food on the fire before Shabbos, where the Mishnah is now teaching us you can't do it until you do either Shehiya or, sorry, until you do Grufa Ketuma. You simply can't do it. Or Mahin Mashin, and even when we allow Shehiya, what are we allowing? Beis Shammai Omer Mechamem Avalo Tafshol, Beis Omer Mechamem V'Tafshol. Where according to Beis Shammai, it would be water but not food, and according to Beis Hillel, it would be water and food. By the way, just to take a moment to think about Beit Shammai. I mean, really, it's amazing now because what the Gemara is proposing is that according to Beit Shammai, you can't leave food on the fire going into Shabbos, even if the fire is Grufa Ketuma. Meaning, it's just think about Shabbos for a moment according to Beit Shammai. So, I mean, it means what? That you've took the food right off the fire right before Shabbos? Something along those lines. You'll do Hatman according to Beit Shammai. You'll insulate it. Well, obviously, with something that's not most of Hevel. All right. Again, it's not halach lamais, but just, you know, it's enjoyable just to wonder, like, how is Beis Shammai Shabbos going to look like? Now, Beis Olamim Chamin Vitavshel. So, but fine. V'chi hecha de pligi balishos, pligi nami balahachzir. And then you have the next part of the Mishnah. Just like they're debating about Shehiyah, now we move on to the next part of the Mishnah, because there's more Mishnah, and there's more real estate in the Mishnah. The next part of the Mishnah is talking about Chazara. Shebeis Shammai Omrim Notlin Avala Machzirin, or Beis Hillel Omrim Af Machzirin. And they're debating about Chazara, where Beis Shammai says you can't do Chazara, and Beis Hillel says that you can do Chazara. Good. So the Mishnah really would work wonderfully if the Mishnah is to be understood. The first part of the Mishnah is talking about Shehiyah, because then you just simply have a full picture of the Mishnah. First half of the Mishnah is talking about Shehiyah, Machlokes between Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel in terms of what you could do Shehiyah with. And then the next part of the Mishnah was talking about Chazara. Wonderful. Ela'i amart lahachzir tanan. But if our Mishnah is talking about Chazara, hachi ketani. So then, here's how the Mishnah sounds like. Ready? Kirishi ziku begashu v'gvava machzir na leha tafshil. Begashu v'eitzim lo yachzir achi yigrof achi yitin efer. So the Mishnah opens up with a discussion of Chazara. Where, if you have either done Gruf or Ketuma, and again, let's be clear, like Ben corrected me earlier, we're talking about doing the Gruf or Ketuma before Shabbos. But if you properly prepare the Kira, so that you did Gruf or Ketuma before Shabbos, you could do Chazara on Shabbos itself. Umahin machzirin, and oh, by the way, what can you do Chazara with? Beis Shammai omrim chamin avalo tafshil. Beis Shammai says you can only do it with chamin, but you can't do it with tafshil. Beis Hillel omrim chamin v'tafshil. Beis Hillel would say no, both liquid and food. Beis Shammai omrim notlin avalo machzirin. Beis Hillel omrim af machzirin. And then you get to the last line of the Mishnah, and what's the last line of the Mishnah doing? Right, it's now telling us, oh, and by the way, I hope everyone knows you can do Chazara. Meaning, hasn't that been the discussion over the entire duration of the Mishnah? And now that last line of the Mishnah is what? Just like a summary statement? It's reminding us? Meaning, it just simply the Mishnah doesn't read if the opening of the Mishnah is talking about Chazara, so then what's the last line of the Mishnah doing? And that's exactly the Gemara's question. Hasulamali. What's that last line of the Mishnah? So, to put it simply, if the Mishnah's first part of it was talking about Shehiyah, The Mishnah reads beautifully. First part's talking about Shehira, last part's talking about Chazara. Good. I understand what the Mishnah is doing. But if the first part of the Mishnah is talking about Chazara, so then the first part of the Mishnah is talking about Chazara and the last part of the Mishnah is giving us a review session? That's not how Mishnayos work. Mishnah makes the point and that's it. So the Gemara says, La'olam e'melecha la'achzir tanan. So the Gemara says, here's what we could do. We could learn the entire Mishnah is going on as Chazara, and here's how we'll learn the Mishnah, v'chisur mechzer v'achi kitani. And oh, by the way, in order to read this Mishnah well, we're going to have to assume that there's a missing part of the Mishnah, the classic chisur mechzer. We're going to insert a couple of words into the Mishnah, and this is how the Mishnah will read. Kirashi sikur bekasha v'gvava. We're obviously now on the top of Lam and Zayin Amud Aleph. We're now two lines down. Kirashi sikur bekasha v'gvava makzir nala tafshil. So if the kira is fueled by either gefes and eitzim, coals, so then I can do chazara, but only if I did either grufa or ketuma, I swept the coals to the side, or I lay ashes over the coals. Avalishos, but when it comes to shehiya, this is now what we're adding to the Mishnah. There I could do shehiya, even if I didn't treat the fire at all. I could leave food directly on the fire going into Shabbos. Omahin mashin, now what could I do shehiya with? So beisham or mimcham and velo tafshel, beisham or mimcham and vitafshel. Good. This line of the Mishnah, the middle line of the Mishnah, is transitioned into shehiya talk. How do we transition? Because chasura mechzura. Because there was a part missing of the Mishnah, but now that we see, now that the Gemara has added a line into the Mishnah, now we know that this middle line of the Mishnah is talking about Shehiya, where Beis Hillel says that you could do Shehiya to Cham and Tafshil, and Beis Shammai says, no, only Cham and Benat Tafshil. The Hachazar de Armilach. And now we get to the last part of the Mishnah, and now the Mishnah takes us back to Chazara. Lav divrei hakolhi, you should know that it's not according to everybody. Elamachlokes, Beis Shammai Beis Hillel, the debate between Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel. Beis Shammai Omrim, no lim v'lo machzirin, Beis Hillel Omrim af machzirin. Where Beis Shammai says, no lin, but you could put food on. I'm sorry, you could take food off, but you can't put it back on again, meaning you can't do chazara at all. Or Beis Hillel Omrim af machzirin. Beis Hillel says, you could do chazara, period. Okay. Now, let's be honest. I've gone through this Gemara not once, not twice, but more than two times. Okay. I'll just leave it at that. So in other words, to me now, in other words, I see the Gemara's two ways of learning the Mishnah, and I see it clearly, not because I'm smart, just simply because I've gone through the Gemara a number of times. If you've heard this, this is the first time you're hearing the Gemara, so I pressure you. Go over the Mishnah again. Go over the Gemara again. Because it's just a lot of information, and it's just, in other words, you have to be comfortable with all the opinions in order to see the two ways that the Gemara now is learning the Mishnah. But once you have these two ways now of learning the Mishnah, so it makes a tremendous difference. Either our Mishnah is only talking about Chazara, which means then that for Shehiya, you would be allowed to do Shehiya before Shabbos with food, even though the fire is not covered, even though the fire is not swept to the side. The only provision is that the food be partially cooked, because our Mishnah is fine like Hananya. Good, that's one way to learn the Mishnah. That's the second way we just did it. That's what we just recently did. And if that's true, then the halacha would mean that you could put food on the fire going into Shabbos, with the only condition being that the food be partially cooked. Or, the other way to learn the Mishnah, which is the simpler way to learn the Mishnah, is that the first part of the Mishnah is talking about Shehiya, which means that the fire has to either be swept to the side or covered, in order for me to put food on the fire going into Shabbos. And that means that our Mishnah would be falling not like Hananya, but rather like the Chachamim, and so that you can't put food over an open fire going into Shabbos. Those are the two ways to learn the Mishnah, and at this point in time, the Gemara is not resolving what's the correct way to learn the Mishnah. Now, I know, I don't worry, I'm mind reading right now. I know you want to know, what does the halacha follow like? Give me a little more time with the Gemara, and then I'll come back and I'll discuss the halacha. Tashma. The Gemara now quotes the following. Amar Rabbi Chelbo, Tashma coming here, meaning again, the Gemara is going to try to resolve what's the proper way to learn the Mishnah. Amar Rabbi Chelbo, Amar Rabbi Chama, Bar Guri, Amar Rav. The Gemara gives us a halacha in the name of Rav, which is Loshanu Ela Agaba, Avalatocha Aser. This halacha in our Mishnah is only talking about putting the food over the fire, but not in the fire. Now remember, I described the kira yesterday. It's easy. It's easy to picture. It's a box. That's all it is. and the coals go into the box, into the bottom of the box. And again, it's not a cardboard box; it's, you know, made out of earthenware. So, and the coals go on the bottom. And now I could do one or two things with the pot, whatever the recipe calls for. I could either put the pot in the kira itself, okay, or I could put a grate on the top, and I could put the pot on the top of the kira. Our Mishnah says Rav. This is Rav's understanding of our Mishnah. Now, by the way, he's not telling us whether the Mishnah is holding like Hananya or holding like the Chachamim. He's not telling us if it's talking about Shahir or talking about Chazara. He's just telling us one thing. Our Mishnah that gives us allowance is only Al Gabah, only on the top, but not inside.
But that's a form of putting blech on it, in a way.
Kind of. Meaning, he's not talking about the fire, he's talking about the food. The food can't go in, the food only can stay on the top of the kira. That's what Rav tells us. And now what we're going to do is we're going to work backwards. Now that we know that Rav makes this qualification of the Mishnah, now the Gemara is going to put on its detective hat and try to understand, how did Rav learn the Mishnah? Is the Mishnah talking about Shehir or talking about Chazara? So, if our Mishnah is talking about Chazara, if you're assuming the Mishnah is talking about Chazara, so then, then I get it. Meaning, the Mishnah is talking about Chazara, taking the food off the fire, but here's what you can't do. Don't put it into the Kira, only put it on top of the Kira. I hear the difference between putting it inside versus putting it on top. Imagine, let's think about this for just a moment. I took the food off the fire on Shabbos. Okay, and now, this is what Rav is telling us. To put it back into the fire, now I understand when you put it into the fire, you're already manipulating the fire, so that in of itself is already weird. And when by weird, I simply mean, right, you may be stoking some of the coals, but the way Rashi says it, I'll read Rashi inside. Rashi says, "Hainu d'shani mitocha dal gaba d'chimashu l'socha d'chimashu l'socha d'shena grufa matmin mamish beremetz." Essentially, what you're doing now is you're insulating the food in coals on Shabbos, which we have, as we pointed out, according to everybody, is absolutely prohibited. So the only allowance would be to take the food, not put it in the coals, but put it over the coals, on top of the coals, meaning having some sort of grate on the top of the kira and putting the food over there. So if the discussion we're having is a discussion of Chazara, I get it. It must be that Rav understood our Mishnah was talking about Chazara. Ela'i Amar, I read on in the Gemara. Lishostanan, but if our Mishnah is talking about Shehiya, Mali tocha, mali al gaba. Think about it. What difference does it make? I do shehiya in the kira. I do shehiya on top of the kira. We're not talking about on Shabbos. We're talking about before Shabbos. What difference would it make? Good. So in other words, from Rav's understanding of our Mishnah, how did Rav learn our Mishnah? Our Mishnah is talking about Chazara. Our Mishnah is not talking about shehiya. It would seem then that according to Rav, the correct way to understand our Mishnah is our Mishnah is exclusively talking about Chazara, not Shehiya. Good? Mi Savris Rabbi Chalba Reisha Kai Asefa Kai. The Gemara says, the logic you presented is good, but you walked into the discussion with an assumption. You thought that Rav was qualifying the first part of the Mishnah. You're wrong. Rav was qualifying the last part of the Mishnah. The last part of the Mishnah is talking about Chazara. There's no debate over there about that. The Mishnah actually says, Avala Machzirin. It's on that that Rav qualified that, I'm sorry, Bisil Omim Af Machzirin, right? It's on that where Rav qualified that yes, you can do Chazara, but you can't put the food in the Kira. You can only put the food over the Kira when you're doing Chazara. It's that point that Rav was qualifying. But the first half of the Mishnah, perhaps that's talking about Shehiya. Ubeisil Omim Af Machzirin. So in other words, so once we've pinpointed that Rav is talking about the last line of the Mishnah, so then we don't know how he understands the first part of the Mishnah, and the first part of the Mishnah could simply be talking about Shehiya. Tashma. The Gemara does this again. So again, it really comes back to the same question again and again and again. What's the first part of the Mishnah talking about? What's the topic of discussion? In this Braisa, we're going to lay out the following scenario. It's a twin oven, right? It's two stovetops, if you will, side to side. Okay? But I say stovetops, it's not really a stovetop, it's two rectangular ovens that are just simply one right next to the other. And they're contiguous. And they're actually connected by one singular wall. One is either the coals are swept to the side or ashes are put on top, and the other one, the coals are not treated at all. Neither have been swept to the side nor ashes placed on top. Mashin al gabe grufa v'ktuma, ve'ein mashin al she'eno grufa ve'eino ktuma. So, on the one that was treated, you could do shehia. On the one that was not treated, you cannot do shehia. Umahin mashin. Now, what can you do shehia with? Beisham omrim velo klum. Ubeisilo omrim chamim velo tavshil. Now, listen to this. Beisham says, you know, you could do shehia with nothing. That's what you could do shehia with, right? Nothing.
Not even liquid.
Like you can't do shehia at all. Period.
But the Mishnah...
Correct. Right, good. Good observation, correct observation. And Basil says, yeah, you could do shehia, but only with liquid, but not with food. Agreed, right? You already see it. The Braisa doesn't agree with the Mishnah. Good. If you see it, you're in good shape. Akar, divrei hakol lo yachzir. Now, what if you take the food off? No. Divrei hakol, everyone would say you cannot do chazara. Divrei Rav Meir. This is Rav Meir's understanding of the machlokes between Basil and Beis Shammai. Okay, meaning, thank goodness, I mean, if I can say this, if I'm allowed to say this, that this is not the accepted halacha. Can you imagine Rav Meir's version of Beit Shammai? Shehiyah, not at all. Chazara, not at all. So what do you do? So we got to go back to what Hadi said earlier, meaning you'll take the food off the fire before Shabbos, you'll wrap it up in aluminum foil, and that's it. And that's how you go into Shabbos. Okay, but that's Rav Meir's version of the machlokas. Rav Yehuda Omer Beit Shammai Omrim Chamim Velo Tavshil. Now we're going to be in much more comfortable territory according to Rav Yehuda, because Rav Yehuda says, no, that's not the machlokas between Beit Shammai and Beit Hillel. This is the machlokas. This is one of those complex structures where I have a machlokas and a machlokas within the machlokas. Meaning, how do we understand Beit Shammai and Beit Hillel? What is the machlokas between Beit Shammai and Beit Hillel? So we have Rav Meir and Rav Yehuda. Now Rav Yehuda, it sounds better to us, it doesn't sound, better is not the right word, but it sounds more comfortable because it's going to better fit in with what we know from the Mishnah. So Rav Yehuda Omer, Beit Shammai Omer, Chamem Velo Tavshel, Beit Shammai Omer, Chamem Vitavshel. Beit Shammai Omer, Nolan Avalo Machzirin, Beit Shammai Omer, Af Machzirin. Okay, so now, Iyamar Bishlam Alishos Tanan. Now, here you really have to see everything. Meaning, to understand these next lines of Gemara, you really have to be super comfortable with all the opinions that were laid out. If our Mishnah was talking about Shehiya, so Masni Samani Rebbe Yehuda he, so then our Mishnah fits in wonderfully with Rav Yehuda. Perfectly with Rav Yehuda. Meaning that the positions of Shehiya align with what Rav Yehuda taught us, and the positions of Chazara align with what Rav Yehuda taught us within the Machlokas of Beis Hillel and Beis Shammai. Wonderful. Ela Iyamar Lahachzir Tanan. But if the entirety of our Mishnah is talking only about Chazara, and it's not talking about Shehiya, Masni Samani, so then who is our Mishnah following like? Lo Rabbi Yehuda v'lo Rabbi Meir. E Rabbi Meir kash le Beis Shammai b'chada, u le Beis Hillel b'tarti. Meaning, because if you try to adjust our Mishnah to Rabbi Meir, you're gonna get stuck. Meaning, because on both points, our Mishnah does not follow like Rabbi Meir's version. And E Rabbi Yehuda, Kasha Grufa Ketuma. And if you want to try to put our Mishnah together with Rabbi Yehuda, it won't fit in with the position of Grufa Ketuma. Meaning that if our Mishnah is only talking about Chazara, but vis-a-vis Shehiya, our Mishnah says, go for it, so then we're stuck. Because our Mishnah says that you could do Shehiya even if it's not Grufa Ketuma. And the way that we just presented the Braisa, according to Rabbi Yehuda, you can only do Shehiya only if it's Grufa Ketuma. So then it doesn't work out. So the Gemara says, You're right. Meaning, I could say that our Mishnah is only talking about Chazara, and I'll simply say that our Mishnah doesn't agree with Rav Yehuda. That's all. Meaning, Savalak Rav Yehuda bechada bechamim v'tavshil, v'nolan amachzirin, meaning that as on the subject matters of what you could do shihiyah with, we agree. Liquid and food. In terms of whether you could do chazara, we agree. You could do chazara. Upalagala bechada. And our Mishnah argues with Rav Yehuda on one point. The ilutani didan savar lishos v'alfa pishena garfikatum. Rav Yehuda savar belishos nami garfikatun in ilolo. Our Mishnah gives you license to do shehiyah, even if the fire has not been swept or the fire has not been covered. And Rav Yehuda says no, that you cannot do shehiyah until the fire is either garfikatun. Period. Now, when I say period, I mean the Gemara now has ended the discussion. And awkwardly, of course, because now to the question of how to learn the Mishnah, is the Mishnah talking about Shehir or is the Mishnah only talking about Chazara? So now I will simply say the Gemara has come to a stalemate. There are two ways to learn the Mishnah. The Gemara has tried by going through Mishnayos, by going through Braisos, by going even through a Halacha of Rav. The Gemara has tried to make clarity of what is our Mishnah talking about, and the Gemara now has left the issue totally unresolved. And so now the question looms. Can I do Shehiyah going into Shabbos, even though the fire has not been either swept or ashes has been laid on top of it? Or no, I can only do Shehiyah if the fire is covered or if the fire is swept to the side. Or again, to put it even simpler terms, can I leave food over an open fire going into Shabbos? Yes or no? Chananya would say yes, with only one qualification. Food's got to be partially cooked, and the Chachamim say no. Who does the halacha follow like? So if you take a look at the top Tosfos on Lamed Zayin Amud Aleph, so Tosfos says, look, have you been watching the Gemara, and have you been listening for the last half hour of Daf? So, and I'm trying to present it. So if you've been following carefully the last Amud of Gemara, more, right? Oh, nearly a daf of Gemara. So you've seen that the Gemara has trying to bend over backwards, conform the Mishnah to the position of Chananya. Meaning, it's not conclusive, but the Gemara certainly tried to make our Mishnah fit into Chananya, even though the simpler reading of the Mishnah goes like the Chachamim, that our Mishnah is talking about Shehiyah, not talking about Chazara. And so Tosfos arrives at the conclusion that because, I'll read Tosfos inside. Mishum de Kaimalan, it's two lines. Mishum de Kaimalan kechananya kamoshe afarish bezos Hashem, dochik leukme masnitsin kavasei. Because the halacha falls like Chananya, that's why the Gemara made every attempt possible to understand our Mishnah going like Chananya. Right? That is Tosos's conclusion. And by the way, that's not just Tosos's conclusion. Rashi agrees as well with Tosos that the halacha in fact follows like Chananya. So that means that according to Rashi and Tosfos, I can leave food on a fire going into Shabbos as long as the food is partially cooked. Michael ben Jusai. Who disagrees with this conclusion of Tosfos? So all your Sfardim, the Rambam, the Rif, so they all disagree and they say no, that if you want to leave food going into Shabbos, the fire has to be either covered or has to be swept to the side. Okay, so in other words, it's a basic machlokus between the Tanayim, Chananya, and the Chachamim, and it's a basic machlokus between the Rishonim. I'll call it the Ashkenazim versus the Sfardim. Where does the Rush stand on this? Now, I mean, this is a discussion that can go on and on. I mean, this is not an easy discussion, but I'm just gonna bring in one more point into this discussion, and then we're gonna move on. Where does the Rush stand on all this? So the Rush, you know, is kind of a hybrid between Ashkenaz and Sfard. Okay? That's basically how I'm setting it up. The Rush lived his... I mean, first of all, he's the son. He's one of the Balei HaTosfos. Right? But as you know, because of the Crusades, so he was kicked out of France, and he moved into Spain. And not only did he move into Spain, but what did he do? He became the head of the Sephardic community over there. So he goes through the entire Gemara at length, and then he ends off with the following. If I can find it within the next couple of minutes, seconds, I should say. Fine. If not, I'll come back and I'll quote it another time.
I'm going to help you something.
Right. No. Just give me a moment.
We want to hear that.
Yeah. No, it's a great line. If I can find it, fine. If not, we'll move on. It serves me right. I should have marked it off before the daf. Okay, so maybe before Shabbos.
Okay. What was the thing?
Come back to me. Sorry about that. Pause. Okay, come back to me afterwards. I'll quote it. Okay, I can quote it outside. But all right. Anyway.
Yeah, what was he saying?
So the Shulchan, he says that the Jewish people are so careful about the mitzvah of Oneg Shabbos. So therefore, the Jewish people are makel like Hananya. Okay. The Shulchan Aruch. So what does he do? So the Shulchan Aruch, this is a major machlokes. The Shulchan Aruch actually quotes, and it's Shulchan Aruch does this from time to time. He actually quotes both opinions.
What does the Rif?
He quotes. The Rif says no. The Rif says we go like the Chachamim. I know. So the Shulchan Aruch says that. He brings down both opinions, meaning you take a look at the Shulchan Aruch, where is it, Reishon and Gimel? Yeah. So take a look at the Shulchan Aruch, so he quotes the opinion of the Chachamim, and then he quotes the opinion of Hananya, and it's not clear exactly how the Shulchan Aruch rules, but usually we say that because he quoted the Chachamim first, so essentially he follows like the Chachamim. And then the Rama writes, for the Ashkenazim, our minhag is to follow like Hananya. Okay, that's what the Rama writes. You can take a look at the Mishnah Berurah. The Mishnah Berurah says really should try to take into consideration the opinion of the Chachamim and follow the position of the Chachamim. So where do we land with all this? Try your best, especially the Ashkenazim. I'm sorry, especially the Sephardim, but even for the Ashkenazim, try your best to not put food over an open fire going into Shabbos. Now, for us nowadays, open fire, what does that mean? Okay, again, this discussion can really go on. But in other words, but you see all this once you understand the Mishnah, once you understand the Gemara, you see where it all develops from the Mishnah and from the Gemara. You found it. I figured you would.
Hold it.
You'll forgive me. I'm interested in the rush right now. Stu, direct me, please. There you go. Thank you. Keep going up or forward? Yeah, I'm looking for that Dukim B'mitzvah Zonig. Where it's at the end of Os Aleph?
At the very end of Os Aleph.
Oh, here we go. Well, Vishvil Sharabu Deos by Pisca. Thank you. Okay, thanks, Stu. Okay. Uvishvil Sharabu Deos by Pisca. Vishvil Adukim B'mitzvah Sonic Shabbos. In other words, there are many opinions over here. And the Jewish people cling to the mitzvah of Oneg Shabbos. That's code for we like eating. So it's okay. I know how to read the Rush. I just don't know where to find it. Velo Yishmu Lahachmir. The Rush writes this. And even if I try to be machmir for the Jewish people, they're not going to listen. Hanach lehem, leave them alone, writes the Rush. Keminag shenagu al pi aposkim kechananya. Because look, they're following the minag of Chananya. That's fine. Okay, and then he goes on. Right? That's one enjoyable line by the Rush. Yeah, no, in other words, because I'll tell you what the issue is. Meaning, you want to be makel like Hananya, so the Rush says, I'll give it to them, and Tosfos says that's a halacha. Here's a problem. Let's say on Shabbos itself, I want to do chazara. You're going to get stuck.
Yeah, you cannot do it.
You can't do chazara. So practically speaking, you're going to want to do shahira. Sorry, you want to do gerufa ketuma anyway, because
right.
You want to be able to do chazara on Shabbos.
Right.
So. Yes, it is a concession on behalf of the Rush, and certainly Tosfos, feels fundamentally the halacha is like Hananya, but practically speaking, you want to do chazara, you're going to need to cover the fire anyway. I guess you could say it that way. Okay, that's it. That's the end of the Shihir Chazara discussion. Okay, I know it's complicated. Hopefully we got some sense out of it. Tomorrow we pick it up. Not a new discussion, but a new topic within the realm of Shihir.